Let's pray. Lord, please may your Holy Spirit help us open us up to see and receive your truth and love this morning. Amen. So we've come to the end of our series on hope when it hurts. I've been away for most of it, but I have listened to all of the sermons. And in this, the last sermon on the series, this one is based on some more of what Paul says about suffering and how we respond to it in his letter to the Roman church. We all know sometimes life hurts. The experience of suffering is common to every human life. As Pastor Tyler Statton says, suffering is always looming, nipping at our heels and occasionally wrestling us to the ground. Some of us never get up, and even those who do may walk with a limp. Suffering tends to be where we look hardest for God and where God can be most difficult to find. And the most natural human response to the fact of suffering is, of course, to do our best to avoid it. Who wants to hurt? And to minimize its effects when we can't. As an example, I see this with grief, when people sometimes avoid the pain of loss, trying to ignore it, minimize it, or push it down, which, of course, doesn't work very well in the long run anyway. Whether we like it or not, we are going to experience hard times in life. Suffering isn't evenly distributed, and we all suffer in different ways and to varying degrees. But will our share in the world's suffering embitter us or soften us, close us off or open us up? In our Bible reading from Paul's letter to the Romans just now, Paul talks of hope coming from suffering, hope when life hurts. The Apostle Paul was no stranger to tough times. As Adrian told us last Sunday, we know that Paul experienced all sorts of hardships and troubles, including persecution, shipwreck, near drownings. He was flogged, beaten up, imprisoned, and more. So he speaks from experience. And this Paul says something we might find surprising. We've just read, "We glory in our sufferings." We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Paul seems to be connecting the experience of human suffering to the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't a one-off, as Paul says similar things and other things in his other letters to the Roman, Corinthian, and Philippian churches. Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit's power is living, active, and present in our suffering as it is in our triumphs and healings, in the bad times as well as the good. And that there can be meaning in our suffering, that it can somehow be repurposed to produce perseverance, character, like Jesus, and hope. Not that it's ever welcome, of course, but when hard times come, which they will, the Holy Spirit can help us in how we face them. Because the Holy Spirit is the comforter present with us in our suffering. We've just heard some of Jesus' words at the Last Supper when he said that although he was leaving them, his Holy Spirit would come. And the description Jesus gave him is translated as the comforter, the advocate or counselor, one who comforts us in our hurts and wounds and helps us endure them. This Holy Spirit works with both the good and the bad in our lives to make us more like Jesus. We can respond to life's hurts with long-term self-pity, resentment, and bitterness. We can close down a bit, grow hard-hearted. Or with the Holy Spirit's help, we can develop more Jesus-like character. The Holy Spirit can transform our surrendered suffering into love, compassion, gratitude, groaning, and ultimately redemption. That is our hope. A quick word about each of these. Love. Tyler Statton says, The ways God pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit are as beautiful and varied as the turning of a kaleidoscope. But nowhere does the Holy Spirit meet us more profoundly than when we experience the transformational love of God in our weakness exposed by suffering. In other words, God's love may bring real comfort in our pain. That's the experience of many of us. Compassion. Suffering can make us more compassionate, which is a trait frequently used to describe the character of God in the Old Testament. Our English word compassion literally means to co-suffer. To be compassionate is to suffer alongside another, to share their pain, to weep with those who weep. Our own suffering can enable us to do that more deeply, so that losing a parent may mean we're more sympathetic towards others who have lost a parent. Experiencing miscarriage and infertility may create empathy for anyone else who has lived the same. Being diagnosed with depression may soften the heart towards others suffering from mental illness. In my own experience, I can offer a measure of understanding to families overwhelmed by an eating disorder, since my daughter suffered in that way. It seems there's an inherent solidarity in suffering that can draw compassion to the surface, so that with the Holy Spirit's help, we can draw alongside and share others' pain and pray with them, pray for them with depth and passion. Gratitude. So often we take many of life's greatest gifts for granted, but suffering, endured thoughtfully, can sometimes make us weigh up our life's priorities and instill gratitude for small everyday blessings, for medical care, for the love and kindness of others, for God's presence with us in the pain, and more. Groaning. When suffering threatens to silence our prayer lives, the Holy Spirit can help us. In a situation so agonizing we don't know what to say to God, maybe we can't even find words to express our distress, our pain, our anger. There have been times when all I can do is just wail. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit can somehow turn that groaning into communication with the Father God. And redemption. The Bible as a whole doesn't promise that God will protect us from all pain. But God does promise that, in the end, ultimately, suffering won't win because of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He promises that he'll renew and rebuild heaven and earth, and then the kingdom of God will rule forever in all its glorious love, joy, peace, justice. Now that's hope. And hope in the Bible isn't a vague wishful thinking, like when we say we hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, or I hope I don't have to wait long for the bus. In the Bible, the word hope means a firm belief and expectation that we can trust, like actually getting on a bus expecting it will take me to Croydon. I've found that actively choosing to put my trust in God in hard times by singing songs of hope and trust in God to be really helpful. A way of holding on to God in the pain. So we've come to the end of our series. Over the past few weeks, we've heard about various people in the Bible, Old Testament and New, and how they've responded to suffering. We've heard from the Psalms, Isaiah, Job, Saints Peter and Paul, and of course, Jesus. We've seen how Jesus made it clear that evil and suffering aren't usually a result of an individual sin, but because death and sin have infected the world. We've thought about the fact that we can pray and cry out to God in our distress, be angry, weep, wail, groan with no holds barred. We see Jesus' compassion for all sorts of people who were suffering, and Jesus himself suffered terribly. He is our suffering redeemer. He fully understands. We've read that Paul praised God that through suffering we can somehow share in the sufferings of Christ, and that we can be shaped by tough times to receive God's love to comfort others. That God doesn't abandon his people in their distress, that his love, compassion, and faithfulness never fail. So we choose to put our hope and our trust in him. It's not easy, and we need one another. It hasn't been our intention in this sermon series to paint a pessimistic picture of life. Some of us are going through tough times now, and others of us will recognize when we have or may do so as part of our experience. I, for one, have found the series helpful, maybe you too, to be reassured by scripture and or perhaps to be pre-prepared. Whatever our personal situation right now, I'm sure we all know someone who is facing a hard time. So whether for ourselves or for someone else, let's have some quiet in which to bring it to God, and then I'll pray. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and his power at work in us. We pray that we may know your love and comfort in our troubles, and day by day put our hope and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. At the end of the series, I just want to wave three books at you in case you want to think more about this. Tim Keller, Walking with God.